Welcome this morning to our continuing series of lectures on Preaching is the Essence.
Hare Krishna, 亲爱的奉信者们，大家早上好！欢迎大家继续来聆听我们的系列讲课《传播是精髓》。
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Vashtitya Desha Tarane Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Pajitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So topic for this morning is, for a preacher to have potency, he must be pure.
今天早上我们的话题是传教者只有纯粹才有力量。
And you can read that quote, please.
今天我们节选了一段来自于《永恒的主柴培涅经》中篇校谣24章的98节。我们的 Krishna 之水运动就是为了这一目的。我们想造就纯粹的奉献者，让人们通过他们的涟漪而受益。这样一来，纯粹奉献者的数量就会增加。职业传教士无法造就纯粹奉献者，只有一位纯粹奉献者能够转变他人，让他们从事纯粹奉献服务。因此，对 Krishna 之水运动中所有的传教者都很重要的一点是，首先成为纯粹的奉献者，遵守规范原则，停止非法性生活、吃肉、赌博和吸食麻醉品这些活动。他们应该规律的在念珠上念诵 Hare Krishna Mantra， 遵守奉爱服务的程序，清晨早起参加 Mangala Arti， 诵读圣典薄伽那坛和薄伽梵歌，规律的诵读。这样一个人就一个人必须成为追随奉爱的。能够转变他人，让他人也从事奉爱服务。如果一个传教者能够恰当的从事奉爱服务，他就能够有能力转变他人，否则的话，他的传教就没有效果。
Finish?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
One thing is, for me, you're coming in and out. How about for Sati?
Sati Maharaj, 您那边听的是不是连续的？
你刚才有一点断续 ，broken。
Sorry?
就是是有断续的，但是咕噜的声音。
There was a break。
So did they hear everything that you said? Because for me, there were two times that you kind of went out and came back again.
Oh. Sati Maharaj, 刚刚我说的这些你们都有没有听完整啊？
中间有两次断续，还可以，断的不是很长。
There were two short breaks.But now I changed to mobile phone data, so it should be steady.
They heard the whole purport?
Yes.
Okay, so again, I'd like to remind you of the four maxims of ISKCON.
我想再次提醒大家 ISKCON 国际 Krishna 智觉协会的四个信条或者说四句格言。
They are, of course, books of the basis, preaching is the essence, purity is the force, and utility is the principle.
我们说书籍或者说书籍是基础传播是精髓运用为原则纯粹是力量。
And I have mentioned in the past, but, you know, with the passage of time, memory tends to fade. But the way that these four maxims entered ISKCON was that a devotee had brought a scroll, a Chinese scroll, and these four maxims, they were kind of written in Chinese, more or less, a little different order.And then the devotee, who had a fairly good grasp of Chinese, kind of translated them just on the spot to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada acknowledged, he said, yes, this is very good.
之前其实也跟大家有解释过这四句格言的由来，可能时间过得久了，大家有些记不清了，所以想再重复一下。那是因为曾经有一位奉献者，他拿了一张卷纸，上面写着这四句话是用中文写的。当时有一位奉献者他还是稍微精通一些中文，所以当场就把这四句话翻译给了Srila Prabhupada。 Prabhupada 觉得非常好。
So in the context of our China mission preaching, I always found that quite interesting.
那每当谈到中国使命的时候，我觉得这四句格言非常有意思。
So purity is a force.
纯粹是力量。
Books will always be the foundation of everything.
书籍永远都是一切的基础。
Prabhupada said, these will be the law books for the next 10,000 years.
圣帕帕的说我们的书籍将会成为接下来一万年的法律书。
As we know from the time that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared within this world about 500 years ago, for 10,000 years after that, there will be a golden period within the Kali Yuga in which the Sankirtan movement will spread quite widely.
For 10,000 years?
You don't know this?
Okay. Yes. 在就是在主查泰尼亚马哈巴布显现之后的一万年被称为黄金年代。
Foundation in that, you know, for our own...education and training and spiritual upliftment.
所以说我们是书籍是基础对我们自我的提升还教育培训各方面书籍都是基础。
Everything we practice ourselves and teach to others is taught to us through Srila Prabhupada's books.
我们自己所修习的一切还有我们教给别人的都是基于Srila Prabhupada的书籍当中谈到的。
So they are the foundation.
所以说这些书籍是基础。
And just like a foundation, supports a huge structure above it, if the foundation is not strong, you know, the building that sits upon that will also not be very,stable.
就像是一座建筑，只有它有很坚实的根基，这座建筑才能够持久，否则的话，根基不稳定，这个建筑也难以长久的稳定下去。
It's also like that, with our spiritual development.
我们的灵性进步也是如此。
If we don't have that foundation, very firmly rooted in our own spiritual practice, the study of Prabhupada's books on a daily basis, then, you know, our whole the whole spiritual structure that we are building on that foundation will be very unstable.
同样的道理，如果我们没有通过每天那规律的研习圣帕帕德的书籍，打好我们灵性休息的基础，那么我们的这座灵性大楼就它的根基就不稳定。
And you know this is an issue because even recently, as recent as in January, February time, when the international body of ISKCON educators met in Mayapur, this is one of the main takeaways and one of the main initiatives that was born out of that whole experience, that whole discussion with, I don't know how many, a couple hundred ISKCON educators, that it was essential to study Prabhupada's books on a daily basis.
阅读这方面做得很欠缺，这是我们的面临的一个问题。其实早在今年一月还是二月份，国际Krishna 世觉协会国际教育部在 Mayapur 开的教育部会议上，他们讨论了很多问题，但一个主要的结论或者说主要的提议就是奉献者应该每天规律的认真研习圣帕巴德的书籍，这是几百名参与教育培训服务的奉献者共同得出的结论。
So the director of this international educational, I guess, group of devotees, he has this as his initiative. It's the initiative of the whole group, but he took it on as a personal initiative. And, you know, they're really propagating this quite strongly, you know, through social media and everything like this. It's such a foundational principle that cannot be neglected.
这是非常根本的一个原则，这是非常根本的一个原则。所以说，国际教育部的部长，他在整个大会上提出了这个提议，并且他本人，非常的重视这件事情，所以他在各个平台上都在大力的推广。强调研习圣帕巴德书籍的重要性。
It definitely is a problem because several years ago when there was an ILS and they did a survey, they found out that the overwhelming majority of leaders who had been polled at that particular meeting, you know, they reported that they weren't regularly reading Prabhupada's books, and that was a real cause for alarm.
我们在阅读和研习圣帕巴德书籍方面的确存在着很大的问题。几年前在ILS 国际领导者峰会上，对与会的奉献者们做了一个问卷调查，结果就发现，让人很震惊。大部分的与会的奉献者都没有能够严格的、规律的研习圣帕巴德的书籍。
So it was the ILS before the last ILS, so it's been several years ago.
那是几年前的一次 ILS 会议。
But again, when the body of ISKCON educators gathered in Mayapur in the beginning of this year,It was still a concern. After so many years, somehow or another, our movement as a whole has not, it seems, grasped this very essential principle.
几年前，国际领导者峰会上已经提出，已经他家已经开始意识到这个问题了。 那么今年国际教育部的会议上，依然大家看到这依然是一个让人担心的问题。看来在我们的运动当中这么多年过去了，我们还是没有掌握这一精髓的根本的原则。
So personally, I believe that studying Prabhupada's books daily is as important as chanting Hare Krishna.
我个人认为每天规律的研习圣帕巴的书籍和每天规律的念诵 Hare Krishna 是同等重要的。
So it's something that we all have to make time for.
我们每个人都应该每天留出时间来研习 Prabhupada 的书籍。
The second thing on that scroll was preaching is the essence.
那这幅对联的第二行是说传播是精髓。
That means whatever we do, should be a form of preaching.
也就是说，我们做的每一件事情，不管我们做什么，都应该是一种传播的方式。
Not only what we speak.
我们是传播传教，不光指的是去讲话讲课。
But our behavior should exemplify that.
我们的行为应该也体现出我们所讲的内容。
That's why Prabhupada said that example was more important than the precept.
所以 Prabhupada 说，身体力行，榜样比教导更重要。
So if we don't, if we don't exemplify what we are trying to teach others, then we will not be very effective.
如果我们没有以身作则的向别人展示出我们所教导的内容，那么我们的教导，我们的传播就没有效果。
And because we're all members of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army, we should connect everything that we do, every activity that we perform, as a type of preaching endeavor.
因为我们都是主 Chaitanya 的 Sankirtan 齐颂圣名运动当中的一员，所以呢，我们做的每一件事情都应该把它跟传播联系起来。
Third is purity is the force.
第三行是纯粹是力量。
And this is really the point of Prabhupada's purport that without purity, we really can't accomplish very much.
这也是释迦牟尼佛在我们刚刚读过的那个世界的要旨当中所说的，如果没有纯粹的话，我们就不会取得多大的成就。
It will be more or less empty words.
只不过是空谈。
With no potency.
没有力量。
Just parroting, repeating, but not seriously.Not seriously practicing ourselves.
只不过是在鹦鹉学舌的重复，自己并没有认真的修习。
So, a bit more about that later.
对于这点，我们一会儿会讲的更多。
And then finally, utility is a principle. Simply put, you know, anything that can be should be used in Krishna's service.
第四行，也就是最后一行是实用为原则，也就是任何可以用来服务 Krishna 的都可以用起来。
So as Prabhupada expresses in this purport and many other places, he strongly believed in this principle that, you know, devotees must be pure to be effective preachers.
圣普拉帕在这个要旨以及其他很多地方都强调过说奉献者如果要想让自己的传播服务做得很高效，必须变得纯粹。
And therefore, throughout his books, He repeats the necessity of following these four regular principles.
所以舍勒帕巴在他的书当中就反复强调遵守四项规范原则的重要性。
Does it not once, not twice, but many times?
他不只提过一两次，而是很多次。
And why? Because
为什么要反复强调呢？
We have to uphold these four pillars of religiosity.
因为我们需要支撑维系好宗教的四大支柱。
Truthfulness, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness.
宗教的四大支柱就是真诚，真诚、自律、仁慈，还有洁净。
Without these four pillars firmly placed, there is no possibility of holding up the platform for which to practice Krishna consciousness.
如果没有这稳定的四大支柱的话，我们 Krishna 知觉修习就失去了坚实的根基。
So truthfulness, as we know, is destroyed by gambling. Or, Prabhupada also says, reading too many books out of curiosity.
赌博，还有圣帕巴说，还有因为好奇而阅读大量的书籍。这两种活动都会摧毁我们真诚的品质。
It also means to be, you know, straightforward in our ordinary dealings. Honest and straightforward in our ordinary dealings.
这一点真诚也意味着在我们日常的人际交往、行为处事当中要坦诚直接。
Not being duplicious.
不要口是心非。
Or hypocritical, doing one thing and saying one thing and doing another.
不要虚伪，行为和说法不一致。
And the point about reading too many books, we have to be very cautious about reading literature outside of the bhakti tradition.
刚刚也提到说大量的阅读其他的书籍，那这里我们指的是在阅读奉爱跟奉爱服务之外的一些书籍的时候，一定要特别的小心。
For example, if it is tinged with Mayavad philosophy, Prabhupada warns us in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one is doomed.
圣帕巴在《永恒的主宰篇》的经当中有提到说，如果我们在阅读其他沾染了Mayavadi非人格主义的内容的书籍的话，如果我们读这一类书籍，那我们就完蛋了。
So we have to be cautious.
所以一定要谨慎。
And we have to.Be discriminatory.
要有所区分。
Austerity, of course, means no intoxication.
苦行或者说自律意味着不吸食麻醉品。
And strictly speaking, it means coffee, tea, and cigarettes.
严格的说，麻醉品呢也包括咖啡、茶和烟。
Some devotees think it's all right to take tea.
有的奉献者会觉得喝点茶没关系。
But if that tea has caffeine in it, according to Prabhupada's definition, it is a form of intoxicant.
那其实很多茶里面是含有咖啡因的，而咖啡因根据 Prabhupada 所解释的，它也属于麻醉品。
So we should think about that.We should think about what our founder Acharya has taught.
所以我们要考虑到我们的创办灵性导师所教导的。
Mercy, of course, we know. No meat, fish, or eggs.
仁慈这个品质要想保护好这个支柱的话，就意味着我们要避免食用鱼肉蛋。
Finally, cleanliness, externally and internally.
它第四个支柱叫做洁净，因为这是包括外在的和内在的洁净。
No illicit sex, but also, you know, keeping the body very clean, that is goodness.
洁净，就是说没有非法的性生活，当然也包括保持身体的洁净。
Some years ago, I remember someone asking me, so, if I rise early in the morning, do I need to take bath first before I chant, or I can chant and then take bath?
我记得几年前有人就问我说，我清晨如果起得很早，我是不是可以先念诵，然后再去沐浴，还是必须先沐浴再念诵呢？
Well, to ask that question, one doesn't even understand about basic hygiene.
问出这个问题，说明这个提问者连基本的卫生原则都不懂。
To drive away the ignorance and to cleanse oneself of the impurities of having slept for 6-8 hours or whatever, that is an absolute requirement that you cleanse the body the first thing in the morning.
要清除愚昧心态，以及沉睡了6到8个小时之后身体产生的不洁。那么清晨早起之后第一件事情沐浴，这就是绝对必要的了。
And if possible, you know, one's bath is completed by putting on tilak and at least clean clothes, if not devotional clothes.
如果有可能的话，还要涂上提拉克。涂上提拉克，整个沐浴，洁净的程序才是完整的。那沐浴完之后，应该穿上至少穿上洁净的服装。即便没有办法穿妨碍的服装，至少换上洁净的服装。
So one might be asking, why is Giridhara Swami speaking about the regular principles? We already know about this.
可能有的奉献者会很疑惑，为什么 Giridhara Swami Maharaj 要强调四项规范原则呢？我们都已经知道了。
This is preliminary knowledge.
这是初级知识。
Meant for neophytes.
是应该讲给初级奉献者听的。
We already know this.
我们都已经懂了。
But one thing to note is that we have extracted this part of a purport from the Madhya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
但请大家注意，刚刚我们读的这一段这一段内容是节选自Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇校要的一个世界。
So Prabhupada said that Chaitanya Charitamrita was the postgraduate study of bhakti.
圣帕帕的可曾经说过，永恒的主产天下经是我们奉爱修习当中的研究生课程。
And this particular purport is found in the Madhya Lila, in which many advanced topics are being spoken about.
而永恒的主产品涅经 Madhya Lila 中篇校友当中讲的大部分内容都是已经是很高深的话题了，可是在这里Prabhupada 就提到了四项规范原则的重要性。
So Prabhupada considers it very important, not just important, essential. So he is repeating it here in the postgraduate presentation.
所以我们可见圣 Prabhupada 对这四项规范原则的重视程度。他在课外修习的研究生课程的这永恒的主产坛涅经的这一部分又在强调四项规范原则。他觉得这不光是重要的，而且是必不可少的，至关重要的。
Why is he emphasizing this?
为什么要如此强调这四项规范原则呢？
Because unless we follow these principles, we can never come to goodness.
因为除非我们能够严格的追随这四项规范原则，否则的话很难，否则的话就不可能提升到善良形态。
Please remember, dear devotees,that we are trying to transform the lower modes of nature, ignorance and passion, into goodness.
亲爱的奉献者们，请大家别忘了，我们在努力从低等的赞形态、知识形态和愚昧形态上升到善良形态。
And to do that, following these four principles are essential.
要想做到这一点，遵守四项规范原则就至关重要了。
So Prabhupada couples, following the four regular principles with some other practices.
圣 Prabhupada 把遵守四项规范原则和奉爱服务的其他修习经常会放在一起来讲。
He says that we should regularly chant Hare Krishna.
他说我们应该规律地唱诵 Hare Krishna.
He says on their beads.
在念珠上念诵 Hare Krishna.
So he's referring to chanting Japa.
这里就指的是念诵 Japa.
He also says to rise early in the morning.
他又说了清晨早起
Attend Mangal Arti
参加 Mangal Arti
Recite the Bhagavatam
诵读圣典博迦瓦坛
And the Gita regularly
还有博迦梵歌并且强调一定要规律地去做
So early morning rising is essential
所以清晨早起非常重要
We know about an hour and 20 minutes before sunrise is the Brahma Muhurta time.
我们知道在太阳升起前的大概一小时二十分钟以前，这段时间被称为是 Brahma Muhurta 时间。
Very golden part of the day in which spiritual practices should be conducted.
这段时间被称为是一天当中的黄金时间段是最适合、最应该从事灵性活动的。
So early rising is also a necessity.
所以清晨早起也是必要的。
But this is not uncommon. Let us say this is not such an extraordinary concept because we hear in all of many traditions that they also had this as a principle to rise early to begin one's day with spiritual practice.
刚刚说到的原则，清晨早起，以灵性活动开启一天，这个原则并没有什么特别的。我们看到其他很多灵修的程序也是强调这个原则。
It's always been like that.
始终都是这样的。
And in our bhakti tradition, Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, the institution of attending Mangal Arti is such an essential principle.
在我们的 Gaudiya Vaishnava 传系的传统上。那清晨早起参加 Mangal Arti 是非常重要的一环。
So if one, according to time, place, and circumstance, one is in a particular family situation or whatever other kinds of considerations may be there, if one can't rise, you know, super early, then one rises as early as one can.
如果因为家庭环境或者是具体的生活条件不允许起得太早的话，那至少也应该起得尽可能的早。
Earlier the better, but in a family situation, one has to also be considerate to the needs of others.
当然越早越好了，可是在家庭生活的环境当中，我们也应该考虑到其他家人的需求。
And if it's too difficult to do, you know, a very early Mangal Aarti, then one can do it a bit later.
如果很早起来，很早就做 Mangal Aarti 不方便，就可以晚一点。
You know, in many places, it may not be possible to follow a typical temple schedule.
可能在很多地方，不太可能按照庙宇的这个日程表来。
But we try to do the best that we can, given our particular set of circumstances.
但是我们可以根据自己所处的具体环境，做到尽可能的最好。
But the activities must be there.
但这个Mangal Aarti这个活动得有。
Mangal Aarti。Also, reading from or speaking from the Bhagavatam like this. So we have to have this kind of program that is inserted into our schedule. It's something that every devotee should see how to do.
Mangal Aarti 还有诵读圣典波迦巴坛这些活动，无论你处在什么样的情况下，都应该加入到你每天的日常活动日程表当中，那每个奉献者都得根据自己的条件想想看怎么样来做。
So what happens when you do all of this?
如果做到了所有这些会怎样呢？
We hear Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam Tadapadatvena Nirmalam that there are two benefits.
就像在风爱的甘露当中的这个师姐所说的，如果我们能够用感官从事这些灵性的活动的话，就会产生两个效果。
One is freed from all material designations.
首先，我们会免除所有的物质的头衔。
Which means that we rise above these bodily designations.
也就是我们会超越躯体的认同。
And on the other side, our senses are purified.
第二个效果就是如果我们从事所有这些灵性活动的话，我们的感官会得到净化。
Simply by employing our senses in the service of the Lord.
仅仅是通过用我们的感官来从事对主的服务，服务主的感官。
So we understand, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu, that ultimately the conclusion of the Vedic literatures and the conclusion of the practice of bhakti is that.One must act in such a way that he will always remember Krishna, and on the other side, must refrain from doing things that make him forget Krishna.
我们知道在伟达文献还有奉爱修习当中，我们的结论就是，一个人应该竭尽所能，去做一切可以让他始终铭记 Krishna 的事情，应该竭尽全力。避免一切让他忘记 Krishna 的事情。
And to help us remember Krishna, Srila Rupa Goswami has given us, you know, the 64 items of devotional practice.
那什么样的事情能够帮助我们始终铭记 Krishna 呢？ Rupa Goswami 在《风爱的甘露》当中就给我们罗列了64项这样的活动。
And what's interesting, is that the first five of those 64 items refer to the spiritual master.
有意思的是 ,Rupa Goswami 罗列的64项奉爱服务前五项都是跟灵性导师有关的。
First he says that one should accept the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master.
第一条他说一个人应该接受一位真正的灵性导师的莲花足的庇护。
Second, that one should become initiated by him and learn how to perform devotional service.
第二个是应该接受这样一位真正的灵性导师的启迪，并且从他那里学习如何从事奉爱服务。
Third, that one should obey the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion.
第三条是一个人应该怀着信心和奉爱之情来遵守服从灵性导师的训令。
Four is to follow in the footsteps of great acharyas and the direction of the spiritual master.
第四条是在灵性导师的指导下追随先辈 acharya 们的步伐。
And the fifth is to inquire from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness.
第五条是向灵性导师询问如何在 Krishna 智觉当中取得进步。
And so, in the context of, you know, that purport, here we have our founder Acharya instructing us what we should do. And, you know, as followers of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we don't really have an option if we want to advance in Krishna consciousness.
在刚刚读过的那个世界的要旨当中，我们的创办灵性导师Srila Prabhupada 是在给我们他的训示。作为 Srila Prabhupada 以及 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的追随者，如果我们想在灵性道路上取得进步，那么刚刚读到的 Prabhupada 的训示就是我们必须要遵守的，没有别的选择。
In light of what Rupa Goswami has expressed here, that we are duty-bound to obey the orders of the spiritual master.
根据 Rupa Goswami 在这里在奉爱的甘露当中列举的64项奉爱服务，我们可以看到一个人要想进步就必须他的责任就是去追随遵守灵性导师的训令。
Now we also know that within that that list of 64 items, five items are repeated twice because they're so important.
我们也知道在 Rupa Goswami 罗列的64项奉爱服务的清单当中，其中有 五条是有重复的，有说过两次，因为真的非常重要。
And in essence, these five have been mentioned in that purport.
这五个奉爱服务也在我们读到的要旨当中提到了。
Serving a devotee, chanting the holy name, hearing the Bhagavatam, residing in a holy place, worshiping the deity.
也就是服务奉献者，唱诵圣名，阅读圣典波迦法坛，崇拜神像，居住在圣地。
So by engaging in these activities, one's consciousness gradually becomes purified.
通过从事这五项奉爱服务，我们的知觉就会逐渐得到净化。
And as we become pure in the heart, then we're able to open our hearts and give bhakti to others.
内心得到净化之后，我们也就能够打开内心，把 bhakti 奉爱给予他人了。
Bhakti comes from bhakti.
Bhakti 来自于 bhakti.
It's something which is transferred from the heart, the hearts of pure devotees to the fallen conditioned souls.
Bhakti, 奉爱可以从一位纯粹奉献者的内心转移到受条件限制的灵魂的内心。
Someone may say, well, I'm certainly no pure devotee.
有人可能说，当然我又不是纯粹的奉献者。
But what Prabhupada's trying to emphasize here that if you're serious in your practice, then certainly you are becoming purified and you're walking the path of pure devotion.
And Prabhupada 在这个钥匙当中强调的意思是说，如果我们能够始终严格的、认真的在按照奉爱规范修习的程序来做的话，那我们就走在了通向纯粹奉爱服务的道路，我们必将会变得纯粹，会被净化。
And even on that platform, when you're not yet fully 100% pure, you are still pure enough to transmit the purity of Krishna consciousness.
如果能够真能够像 Prabhupada 说的严格始终严格认真的追随纯粹奉爱服务的程序的话，即便你还没有达到100%的纯粹，那么你的现有的纯粹度已经足以让你把奉爱服务的纯粹性，把纯粹的奉爱服务转移到其他人的内心了。
So we're fortunate in that we have our founder Acharya as a role model.
很幸运，我们的创办灵性导师就是我们的典范。
He was the perfect example of purity.
他是完美的、纯粹的典范。
He was pure in his thoughts, pure in his words, pure in his actions.
他的思想、言语和行为都是纯粹的。
We know that he was always thinking about Krishna because he was continuously speaking about Krishna.
我们知道他肯定是始终都想着 Krishna 的，怎么知道呢？因为他始终不断都在讲述着 Krishna。
His words and his actions were reflections of his thoughts.
他的言语、他的行为都体现了他心中在想什么。
He was very pure in his spiritual practice.
他本人的在灵性修习方面也是很纯粹的。
Even though he was already in a liberated platform,
虽然说他已经处在了解脱的层面，但他个人的规范修习依然很纯粹。
Still, he continued to chant the holy name in a regulated fashion and early in the morning.And at other times, you know, when there was some gap in the day, when he wasn't preaching or teaching or instructing, he would be often seen, you know, with his hand in his bead bag chanting.
虽然他已经处在了解脱的层面，但他依然在纯粹的规范的做着规范修行，每天清晨早起规律的念诵圣名，一天当中会不断的有传教教导门徒还有一些教学的服务，那么在每个服务的间隙稍一有时间，我们就可以看到他总是拿着念珠在念诵。
And he was relishing chanting the holy name.
他在品味着唱诵圣名的喜乐。
We mentioned before that, you know, when the devotees were in conflict and they all went to Prabhupada's room at the same time and they looked in, they saw that Prabhupada was chanting and the way that his lips were moving, it really appeared to them all that Prabhupada was tasting something very, very sweet and he was savoring it.
我们之前也讲过一个故事， 几位奉献者之间起了冲突，他们不约而同的来到了 Prabhupada 的屋子外面。往屋子里面看的时候，他们看到圣 Prabhupada 正在念诵。他念诵的时候，他的嘴唇移动的样子，让人感到他是在津津有味的品味着圣名。
So he exemplified what it means to chant the holy name, without offense and with real love.
如何不带冒犯的全然的爱心唱诵圣名，圣帕帕的给我们做出了完美的典范。
Srila Prabhupada was also very pure in following the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Srila Prabhupada 也在纯粹的追随着他的灵性导师 Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur 的训令。
Never did he try to subtract something from that order, add something to that order. No, he just took the order and he tried to execute it.
对于他的灵性导师给的训示，他从未想过要增加什么或减少什么，他始终都在原样追随。
And it said when the spiritual master gives an instruction, he also gives the empowerment to fulfill it.
据说当灵性导师给一个门徒训示的同时，他也赐予了这个门徒执行他的训示的能力。
And his Prabhupada's dear godbrother,noted what separated Srila Prabhupada from all the rest is that he had absolute faith in the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and absolute faith in the potency of the holy name.
Prabhupada 的一位切的亲爱的神兄弟曾经说过，Prabhupada 不同于其他的Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 的门徒的地方就在于他对于他的灵性导师的训令充满了绝对的信心，而且他对圣名充满了绝对的信心。
Srila Prabhupada was pure in his translation.
在翻译方面 Srila Prabhupada 也做得非常的纯粹。
He didn't speculate, he just presented it as it is.
他从不思辨，只是原原本本的呈现书籍的本意。
Following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas.
他的翻译和评注是严格地追随着先辈的 acharya 们的评注的。
Prabhupada was very pure in his preaching.
在传教方面 ,Srila Prabhupada 依然是很纯粹的。
He never wanted to compromise.
从不想妥协。
He just presented the philosophy as he received it through his spiritual master and the rest of the disciplic succession.
他只是将他从他的灵性导师和师徒传系那里听到的知识原原本本的传播给其他人。
And, you know, his strictness, his unwillingness to compromise,You know, this wasn't very popular at the time.
他在追随使徒传世的原则和教导方面的严格，以及他从不妥协的态度，其实是很罕见的。
Around the same time that Prabhupada went to the West, there were others. Others means there were other gurus from India who were there.And they compromised and, you know, they watered down the principles. And, they got a following. But the end result was that their followers were not purified.
在 Srila Prabhupada 去西方传播 Krishna 智觉的那个时期就更为罕见了。很少有人严格的追随这些原则，很少有人能做到不妥协，因为在当时也有很多来自印度的所谓的灵性导师去到西方，他们给他们本来追随的传统的原则添加了水分，稀释了那些原则，所以说他们的追随者 并没有得到进化。
But practically speaking, all of those so-called gurus who came at around the same time the Prabhupada went to the West, you know, where are they today? And where are their followers today?
那我们实际的看一下这个结果。当时几乎在同一时间，和圣帕巴的同一时间去到西方的所谓的 guru 们，他们当时也有很多追随者，可是他们现在在哪里？他们的追随者现在又在哪里？
So because Prabhupada didn't want to compromise, and he just taught the timeless knowledge of the Vedic, taught the timeless knowledge of the Vedas, and the strict practice of bhakti, you know, he transformed the lives of many.
就是因为 Srila Prabhupada 从不妥协，他总是在原原本本的在传播着经久不衰的伟大知识，以及严格的父爱休息的原则，所以他才能够转变改变很多人的生命。
And he continues to do that to the present day.
直到今日他依然在做着这些。
Every time someone gets one of his books, you know, their lives can be transformed.
直到今天任何一个人只要拿到施乐帕帕达的书籍，他们的生命就发生了变化。
So this is an acharya, one who teaches by his example.
这就是 acharya, 先辈灵性导师的含义，也就是以身作则的导师。
We have these two words, prachar, speaking, and achar, action or behavior.
我们有两个词，一个是prachar, 一个是 achar, 其中一个意思是以言语，一个意思是行为。
So the acharya is one who teaches by his or her example.
所以 achar 是行为， acharya 的意思就是以身作则的教导他人的人。
Had Prabhupada only taught and not backed up his teaching with his example, it would not have been very convincing.
如果施洛帕帕只是在教别人，他自己的行为并没有和他的教学内容吻合，没有支撑他所教导的内容，他的传播就不会那么有效。
Whatever he asked us to do, he was already doing.
无论他让我们教导我们做什么，让我们做什么事情，他自己已经做到了。
So Prabhupada is our founder acharya, and we are meant to follow in his footsteps.
Prabhupada 是我们的创办灵性导师，所以我们就应该追随他的步伐。
Both by following his instructions and his example.
追随他的训示，以及他以身作则做出来的榜样。
We're not suggesting that we should try to imitate everything that Prabhupada did, but he has given us instructions and a certain example of what we should become as practicing sadhakas.
并不是说我们要去模仿 Prabhupada 所做的每一件事情，而是要追随，而是说要追随他给予我们的训示，以及他在很多方面给我们做出的榜样。
And our scriptures are full of such examples of great personalities who carried bhakti in their hearts and were able to transmit that to others and transform their hearts.
我们的经典当中充满了这方面的榜样。经典当中有很多这方面的榜样，他们心中装满着 bhakti， 并且能够用自己心中的 bhakti 去转变其他人，改变其他人的内心，把 bhakti 传递给对方。
Please remember how Narada Muni, through the association with the Bhaktivedantas, received the gift of bhakti from them.
我们可以回想一下，Narada Muni 也是因为得到了那些 Bhaktivedanta 学者们的联谊，才得到了他们的仁慈。
And then later on, when he becomes the great saint Sri Narada Muni, then he goes and transforms the hearts of so many, one of which was Murghari.
后来他成为了自己也成为了圣人，也就是后来我们所知道的 Sri Narada Muni, 他就拯救了大量的人，其中一位就是 Murghari。
So who is Murghari? Murghari was just a very kind of low class, forest dweller. He was engaged in, hunting. Not only hunting, he took pleasure in half killing animals.
Murghari 是谁呢 ？Murghari 是一个非常品质很低劣的人，住在森林里面，还以打猎为生。喜欢打猎，不光是喜欢打猎，还是喜欢总是把动物杀得半死。
So Sri Narada Muni takes the time and trouble to preach to Murghari, and eventually, through Narada Muni's association, Murghari becomes a very great saint.
Sri Narada Muni 不畏艰难，花大量的时间去帮助 Murghari。最后 Murghari 也成为了一位圣人。
Sri Narada Muni also, he teaches Bhagavad Dharma to Prahlad Maharaj while he was in the womb of his mother.
I missed that.
I said Sri Narada Muni, preaches to Prahlad Maharaj while he is in the womb of his mother.
除此之外呢，Sri Narada Muni 还给 Prahlad Maharaj 传教，当时 Prahlad Maharaj 还在自己母亲的子宫里。
And then Prahlad, he goes on to transform the hearts of his schoolmates, and more than that, all of us who hear his teachings, we are also the recipients of his mercy.
后来 Prahlad 又去给他的同学们传教，而今天我们听到Prahlad Maharaj 的这些教导以后，我们也获得了他的仁慈。
So therefore, Prabhupada he really emphasizes these points in this purport.
所以Srila Prabhupada 在这个要旨当中才特别强调这一点。
That his aim is clearly to create pure devotees so that other people will benefit by their association.
他说到，我们的目标是造就纯粹奉献者，这样的话，其他人就会因为他们的联谊而获益。
He says professional preachers cannot create pure devotees.
他说职业传教士是无法造就纯粹奉献者的。
Only a pure devotee can convert others to pure devotional service.
唯有纯粹奉献者能够转变他人，让其他人也能够从事纯粹的奉献服务。
And according to Srila Prabhupada, you become a pure devotee by following the instructions of a pure devotee and engaging in these devotional practices, which will very quickly purify the heart.
根据 Srila Prabhupada 的教导，要想变成纯粹奉献者，我们就要追随，严格的追随纯粹奉献者给予的教导。通过听从执行这些教导，我们就能够迅速的得到进化。
So he summarizes the whole thing by saying, if a preacher behaves properly in devotional service, he will be able to convert others Otherwise, his preaching will have no effect.
最后一段 Prabhupada 总结到说，如果一个传教者能够恰当的从事，他就有能力转变他人，否则的话，他的传播就不会有效果。
So, very, practical and also very powerful, instructions.
非常实际又有力量的训示。
Alright, we've spoken about an hour. I think that I see there are some questions there.
我们已经讲了一个小时了，接下来我们看到有两个来自奉献者们的问题。第一个，谢谢顾的讲课。您提到 ISKCON 奉献者读 Prabhupada 的书不多，为什么不愿意读 Prabhupada 的书呢？原因是什么呢？不读 Prabhupada 的书，做其他服务不也可以进，做其他服务不也可以进步吗？第二个问题，读书先要有书。目前 Prabhupada 的父爱的甘露、快乐源泉都买不到，听说这两本 Prabhupada 强调都非常重要，却买不到，不知道什么时候能买到。另外很幸运能听到很多顾的讲课，却很少听到 Prabhupada 的讲课，怎么能听到他的讲课呢？不知道谁安排，还有 Prabhupada 的信件都看不到，因为不懂英语。其实不知道应该谁来安排，来帮助我们树立更多对 Prabhupada 的信心。谢谢 Guru Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you, Guru, for your lecture. You mentioned that many ISKCON devotees do not really read Srila Prabhupada's book, or not as much as they supposed to. And why is that? Why they don't want to read Srila Prabhupada's books? What are the reasons? Can we make spiritual advancement by engaging in other devotional services without reading Srila Prabhupada's books? That's the first question. The second one is, to be able to read. Okay. 我们先来回答第一个问题。
Well, what are the reasons? Our conditioned natures are such that, we may be lazy in application.I mean, everyone knows they should do this, but then they choose not to. So there's a bit of laziness.
你问到原因有哪些？那首先，因为我们都是受条件限制的灵魂，因为受条件限制的这种状况，我们往往可能知道应该读，但是因为懒惰，所以就没能读。
We're also creatures of habit, so we have gotten into a certain routine, and, you know, we may not have included as part of that routine to daily study Prabhupada's books.
而且另外一方面，我们都是习惯的产物，可能我们就没有形成这个习惯，把阅读圣帕帕的书籍纳入到我们日常的安排日常的活动当中来。
So, if that's the case, and I've recommended this before, certainly in the context of presenting the presentation on striving for Nama Bas, that every devotee needs to make for his or herself a schedule.
之前我在讲努力达到清除冒犯的唱诵这个系列讲课的时候就有建议奉献者们应该做出自己的日程表。
And within that schedule, you have to make time for, you know, attentive chanting and the study of Prabhupada's books.
这个日程表当中就应该留出来专注念诵圣名和研习圣帕巴的书籍的时间段。
So a written schedule will help a lot.
书面的计划，书面的日程表 会有很大的帮助。
Because if we don't, if we're not in the habit, if it's not in our schedule at present, and if we create this new schedule in which, you know, proper hearing and chanting is included, then, you know, we can create new habits, better habits that will help us dance.
如果我们目前还没有形成习惯，目前我们的每日的日程表里面还没有阅读帕巴德的书籍这一条，那我们就要调整一下，做一个新的日程表，把这条加上去，慢慢的我们就能够培养起来这个新的习惯。
But it will take time to create new habits.
要养成新习惯是需要时间的。
You know, even in the self-help world, they say, you know, I don't know where they get this from. I guess they have their studies and things that says the 21 days is required to form a new habit.
那我们看到在有一些关于自立的成功学的书上也会有这样的原则。我不知道他们是怎么计算出来的，可能做过一些研究。说要养成一个新习惯，一般来说要需要花21天的时间。
But whatever it is, it's a good amount of time, it's a good length of time, and it's helpful to have that written schedule, prioritizing our spiritual practices, so that, you know, we just do it, whether, you know, we actually want to or not, we just do it anyway, because it's absolutely required if we want to make spiritual advancement.
那不管怎么样，我们做出一个书面的计划，书面的日程表一定会很有帮助的。不管我们喜不喜欢做吧，我们还是把灵性的活动、阅读和念诵，列到这个日程表当中，并且放到优先位置。这样的话，我们就能够取得进步。
Another reason is that we lack taste.
还有一个我们不愿意读书读爸爸的书的原因是因为我们品味不够。
We haven't read Prabhupada's books regularly enough to get a taste.
我们还没有能够规律的阅读圣爸爸的书籍到足够的时间，所以说我们还没有培养起来这个品味。
So you have to make effort. If you do it regularly, there's no doubt you'll get a taste, and that will be an impetus. You won't want to miss reading Prabhupada's books daily.
所以呢，要规律的去做去阅读，逐渐的阅读下去的话，就能够培养起品味，愿意就都不愿意错过，每天都想去阅读。
I've also heard devotees say, "Well, I'm not very philosophical. You know, I don't understand so much, so it's difficult for me."
我也听奉献者说过，我没什么哲学头脑，理解起来很难，理解不了，对我很来说很难。
But even if that is true,
即便真是这样
still if we just if we push ourselves a bit to read, you know, we will perceive the benefits. Even if we don't understand very much, if we just do it regularly, then, you know, we'll perceive benefit. We'll feel ourselves spiritually uplifted just by associating with Prabhupada and Krishna through reading Prabhupada's books.
即便真是如此，真是读起来很难，我们没有这样的哲学的理解力。只要坚持读下去的话，我们还是能够观察到、觉察到我们的进步，觉察到益处的。因为通过阅读，我们就和Srila Prabhupada还有 Krishna 本人和他们的话语在联谊，所以我们能够感到在灵性上得到了很大的提升和鼓舞。
And then what happens is.As you get a taste, and as you experience, you know, that the uplifting effect of studying Prabhupada's books, and you realize that you get that realization, overwhelming realization that there's so much potency here, and it's the greatest gift, and I'm being benefited so much. Naturally, you'll want to then distribute these books to others.
如果能够这样的规律的阅读下去的话，那么我们就你能够就逐渐能够培养起这个品味，能够感受到圣普拉帕的一个书籍的鼓舞人心的力量，能够感受到它有多么的大的力量，能够体会到，更能觉悟到，我们真的是得到了最大的礼物。这时候你就会不由自主的想把这门知识也派发给其他人。
So practically speaking, you know, if you're not reading, or you're not reading very much, or you're not reading regularly, then you start with something. It can be any length of time, or any number of pages. You can start with just 5 minutes, whatever. You just start with something, and you maintain that. And, you know, after some time, you will definitely want to increase. The important thing is to start.
如果说现在你什么书都没有规律的读的话，那么至少先开始迈出第一步很重要。可以选择一本书，每天哪怕就读5分钟，哪怕就几页，先以此为开始，慢慢的做下去，你自然的就会想再增加阅读的量。
Wasn't it Lao Tzu that said the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step?
老子也说千里之行始于足下。
And you know, if we look at all of Prabhupada's books and we see this quite large number, you know, facing us, it may seem daunting to read them all, but we just then break it down. Break it down. You put it into smaller amounts. And if you just do that, you read every day a certain amount consistently, day in, day out, eventually you will read all Prabhupada's books.
我们如果看到释迦牟尼的书目清单，看到 Prabhupada 所有的这些书，我们会觉得让人望而生畏，有这么多的书。但是如果我们能够把这些书进行一个分解，做一个规划，每天阅读一定的量，坚持不懈的日复一日的坚持下去，那总有一天我们能够读完的。
25 pages of the Gita, you finish the Gita in a month. 41 pages of the Bhagavatam, you finish the whole 12 cantos in 1 year.
如果每天读25页《薄伽梵歌》的话，一个月就能够读完一遍。每天读41页。圣典波加巴坦的话，一年就能够读完12篇。
Okay, second question.
Can we make a spiritual advancement by engaging in other devotional services without reading Srila Prabhupada's books?
You know, Prabhupada did say that if you cannot read, you can just chant. And yes, you can make spiritual advancement just by chanting Krishna's holy name. There's no doubt about that.
你还有一个问题问到说，不读 Prabhupada 的书做其他服务，不也可以进步吗？释迦帕帕的确说过，如果你的确真的读书读不了，那你可以念诵圣名，通过念诵圣名也能进步。
But what often happens for a neophyte devotee who does not read Prabhupada's book, does not read Prabhupada's books and tries to just chant or engage in other services, that one can easily forget why one is doing this, what the purpose is, for whom, you know, one is performing these services.
但是对于一个初学者来说，如果只是唱诵 只是唱诵圣名或者做其他的奉献服务，那么长此以往的话，很容易就会忘记做这些服务的目的，为谁而做。
And then one may just think this is just work. This is just hard work.
这样下去的话，很容易在从事这些奉献服务的时候，依然会觉得这不过是辛苦的劳动而已。
Therefore, it's so important to study Prabhupada's books so that we get a very clear explanation of devotional service and, you know, that we ourselves become convinced.
所以阅读 Prabhupada 的书很重要，因为阅读我们就能够听到 Prabhupada 关于奉献服务的清晰的解释。那我们自己也会完全的信服做奉献服务的意义。
So while it is possible to make advancement just through chanting or other angas of devotional service, by practical experience we see that for those who don't read Prabhupada's books, they have difficulty.
虽然说从理论上讲，我们从通过从事任何一项奉献服务都是可以取得进步的。但是根据实践经验来看，那些只是唱诵圣名或从事其他的实际的奉献服务，但是不阅读的奉献者，往往会遇到很多的困难。
And one thing is that Prabhupada did say that hearing was the same as reading.
Prabhupada 也说过，聆听和阅读同样重要。
So just by hearing readings or hearing lectures, that's also similar, and you get benefit from that.
所以呢，通过聆听讲课，聆听一些经典的录音，我们也是能够得到和阅读同样的益处的。
So if you don't like to read or you can't read, then you can listen to recordings.
如果说不想读书，也读不了书，那就可以聆听一些朗读或者讲课的录音。
Next question.
To be able to read Srila Prabhupada's books, we need to get Srila Prabhupada's books first. We know the Nectar of Devotion and Krishna book are so important, but currently,These two books are not available.
抱歉，连接有点问题，请过会儿再试。
What's that?
Sorry, it's just a reminder from that laptop. But currently, the Nectar of Devotion and Krishna book are not available. So how can we get these two books? And when can we get these books?
Yeah.
And please allow me to finish the rest of the question. And also, we feel very fortunate to be able to hear lectures from many gurus, but rarely do we have the chance to hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures. So how can we hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures? Who is going to arrange that?And also, Srila Prabhupada has wrote so many letters to his disciples. For us who do not, cannot read English, how can we get access to all these lectures and letters from Srila Prabhupada? Who is going to arrange this so that we can strengthen our faith to Srila Prabhupada? Thank you, Guru Hare Krishna.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. I really appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
刚刚这位运气超然，这位奉献者，他第二个问题说到了，说《奉爱的甘露》和《快乐源泉》这两本书买不到，还有提到说 Prabhupada 的讲课和信件我们现在听不到也读不到，怎么谁去安排？我就说感谢您能提到这个问题。
So the good news is. is that as we're beginning to work on the kind of organization, reorganization of the BBT, we're looking at you know, reprinting those titles that are currently out of print. And our clear objective is to make sure that all of Srila Prabhupada's books have been properly translated, edited, and published, and that we always have stock of each of those titles.
好，消息是，我们现在正在努力重组 BBT。我们的一个清晰的目标就是要确保是了爸爸所有的书籍，哎，都能够恰当的被翻译出来、编辑好、出版出来，并且总是有存货。那首先，我们要把那些已经缺货的书都印出来。
And also another BBT initiative now is to work on all of the archival material. As you mentioned, Prabhupada's lectures, room conversation, morning conversations, morning walks, his letters, and so on. So that's another initiative.
还有一个计划 ，BBT 的一个计划就是把释迦牟尼佛的所有的资料，包括您说到的他的讲课录音、他的信件、清晨散步，甚至室内谈话等等这些资料，都会安排有计划的翻译出来。
So you can expect in the not too distant future to receive the fruits of those endeavors.
那这方面我们会做出努力，大家也可以期待在不久的将来都可以享受到这些服务的成果。
Be a little patient because, you know, we have gone through, you know, some transformation and anytime there's transformation, there's time required, you know, for readjustment and all. But it is being worked on as we speak.
但是还是请求大家多一点耐心，因为 BBT 也在经历着一个转折期。那刚刚您提到的这些需求，我们也有注意到，也都在朝这些方向努力。
Next question, please.
Jamna Priya Madaji, Dinbai Maharaj, 感恩您精彩实用的讲课，感谢翻译。我们有不同的职责，也要花很多时间修习 Krishna 哲学，如念诵、阅读、参加联谊和经典学习培训，还有资深奉献者赐予的服务，同时我们也要花时间照顾好新人等。我想请求您对于我们不同服务间的时间精力平衡方面能否给一些建议呢？Please accept my obeisances, Maharaj. Oh, this is from Jamna Priya Madaji. Thank you for your wonderful practical lecture. We all have different duties. We need time to practice Krishna consciousness, to do our sadhana like reading and chanting and reading, attending association, and taking trainings to study the sastra. And also we need to perform devotional services given by senior devotees. And we also need time to take care of new devotees and also other services. So would you please give us some suggestions on how we can have a good balance of time and energy?
Thank you for that question. Very practical.
感谢。感谢 Jamna Priya Madaji， 您问的问题，你的问题也很实用，很实际。
A lot of, you know, difficulty is found in time management. How to best manage our time?
在时间管理方面，确实会存在很大的很多困难。到底怎么样最佳的管理好时间
？Oftentimes we can feel totally overwhelmed by, you know, the many things that we need to do, and we seem to be pulled in many directions at the same time.
很多时候有那么多服务，让我们觉得简直难以承受。那么多服务， 把我们拖向不同的方向。
So when we make the schedule, we should prioritize. What are the most important things?
那要想，要想最佳的去管理时间。刚刚我们也说了，要写一个书面的计划日程表。在写这个日程表的时候，就要确保把最重要的事情优先安排。
Or better, what are the foundational practices that should never be compromised?
有哪些最基本的、最根本的休息，是不能有任何妥协的。
And according to Prabhupada's, you know, own words, his own teachings, chanting one's rounds, he says that the most important instruction given by the spiritual master is to chant 16 rounds.
根据释迦牟尼佛所说的，根据他的训示，唱诵圣名是最重要的。他也说了，唱诵圣名是灵性导师给予门徒的最重要的训示。
But he also tells us that we need to read his books daily.
他也说到我们应该每天研习他的书。
So we should not compromise on these two things. We should do them every day without fail.
所以这两件事情，念诵和阅读，是任何时候都不能妥协的，应该每天坚持去做。
The amount of time we read may vary from person to person.
可能阅读的时间可以因人而异。
But it must be done.
但不管怎样，得读。
Sometimes our limited minds analyze, you know, a situation in which we have so many things to do and too little time to do them within.
有时候根据我们有限大脑，我们会去分析，有那么多的服务要做，时间又那么有限。
And so we don't see how we can do it. How can we spare the time for reading? There's just no time.
所以我们就想不出到底怎么能抽出时间念诵呢？怎么能抽出时间读书呢？好像没有时间读书啊。
So we may conclude that by not reading, I will gain some time to do other things.
所以我们就通过我们有限的大脑就分析得出这样一个结论，那不读书我就可以留出时间做其他服务了。
But that's not actually the fact. By reading, we become purified and our consciousness is elevated. So then when we do other services, we can do those services more effectively, with more devotion, with more skill.And in many cases, we'll be able to do them in a shorter period of time. So all said, by reading, we actually gain time. We don't lose time.
那实际上恰恰相反，因为通过阅读，我们会得到进化，我们的知觉会得到提升。这样一来，我们在从事其他方案服务的时候，就会更有效率。会做的会更带着更多的奉爱之心去做，而我们的技能也会提高，而且我们在做那个服务所用的时间也会更少。所以说通过阅读，我们是能够赢得时间的，阅读并不是在消耗我们的时间，占用我们的时间。
So we should look at reading like that it's going to improve our devotional services, whatever service it might be, by putting that effort, scheduling that time to read every day, that we'll become more empowered to do the other services much better.
所以我们要以这样的态度来看待阅读这件事情。通过阅读， 我们会改善我们其他的妨碍服务，不管那个妨碍服务是什么样的。所以说把阅读安排到我们的每日计划当中来，我们就会发现在做其他服务的时候我们会更充满力量。
So we should give up that notion that by reading I'm losing time. Rather, we should think that by reading I'm gaining time.
所以要放弃以前的错误的观念，觉得阅读在占用我的时间，阅读了就消耗那我就失去了这么多时间。恰恰相反，阅读能让我赢得更多的时间。
Next question, please.
感谢 Maharaj， 感谢翻译和主持。纯粹奉献者能使人变得纯粹。问题：纯粹的定义只是动机和心态的纯粹吗？还是只是遵守所有的规范原则 ？Thank you, Maharaj. You mentioned that pure devotees can help others to become pure. The question is, what is the definition of purity? Does that refer only to the purity?Of our motivation, our attitude, or does that mean we're just following all the regulatory principles?
Good question, thank you.
问得好，谢谢您。
You know, we always have to go back to Srila Rupa Goswami's, definition of pure devotional service.
一问到纯粹的定义，那我们就不得不回到Rupa Goswami 对纯粹奉爱服务的定义上。
Pure devotional service means performing our bhakti in such a way that you know we don't have any material desire, any motive, no tinge of Mayavad philosophy.No desire to get something, fruit of desire, and to serve Krishna favorably the way that Krishna desires.
根据 Rupa Goswami 对纯粹奉爱服的定义，纯粹奉爱服就是我们以这样的方式去服务 Krishna， 不含任何的物质动机，不含有任何 Mayavadi 的倾向，也不含功利性活动的动机，以Krishna 按照 Krishna 的愿望顺利的服务 Krishna。
So that's our definition. And that's quite clear, I believe, quite clear.
那 Rupa Goswami 给的这个纯粹奉爱服的定义，我想是很清楚的。
It covers everything. It covers our thoughts, our words, our actions.
它已经涵盖了一切，涵盖了我们的身口意，我们想法、言语，还有行为。
At the same time, At least for most of us, we're not going to come to the platform of pure devotional service all of a sudden.
与此同时，我们也要知道，我们都不是瞬间，突然之间就提升到纯粹奉爱服务的层面的。
Miracles do happen, but for most of us, you know, it takes quite a long time.
奇迹是有的，但对我们大部分人来说，要达到纯粹奉爱服务的层面，还是需要很长的时间的。
At the same time, Prabhupada said that if we are serious, if we are practicing seriously, sincerely, we are, for all practical purposes, considered to be on the pure devotional platform.
与此同时，释迦牟尼也说了，如果我们始终很真诚的、认真的。在追随奉爱服务的修习原则，那么从某种程度上来讲，我们也已经在处在了纯粹奉爱服务的层面。
So we're on the pure devotional platform to the extent that we are purely following Prabhupada's instructions on how to practice Krishna consciousness.
我们到底有多纯粹，就取决于我们到底能够变得多纯粹，就取决于我们在多大程度上在纯粹的追随Srila Prabhupada的训示。
So that's the point, you know, how purely are we following Prabhupada's instructions? And to that extent, you know, we are situated more or less on the platform of pure devotional service.
也就是说，我们在多大程度上纯粹的遵守Srila Prabhupada的训示，就在多大程度上处在纯粹奉爱服务的层面。
Next question.
下一个问题，道具。丁巴耶姑的莲花族，经典像个深不见底的甘露之阳。即便我现在品尝不到，也许将来能。为什么说梵歌是瓦檀的基础？感觉瓦檀是梵歌的扩展，这样理解对吗？感谢翻译。Please accept my obeisances to your lotus feet, Maharaj. The sastra is like a bottomless ocean of nectar. Although I'm not able to taste the nectar now, maybe I can do that in the future. The question is, maybe I can taste that in the future.The question is, why do we say that Bhagavad Gita is the basis, is the foundation of Srimad Bhagavatam? I feel that Srimad Bhagavatam is the expansion of Bhagavad Gita. Is this understanding right?
Thank you for that question. Prabhupada often referred to the Bhagavad Gita as the foundation.The basic philosophy.
感谢。
Yeah. Go ahead.
感谢您的问题。Srila Prabhupada也常说，国家梵歌是我们的泛爱服务的相关的哲学的基础。
So we have his statements in that regard.
在这方面的确，我们能找到 Prabhupada 这样的说法。
And those same foundational principles are certainly repeated in the Bhagavatam, and also they're expanded upon. I mean, that's also there. So both things are true.
的确，博伽梵歌当中讲到的基本的哲学。也是圣典波迦瓦坛的基础，而且圣典波迦瓦坛像您说的，的确对波迦梵歌的讲内容有进一步的延伸。
It's a mistake to think that the Bhagavad Gita is just preliminary, and then after we read it, then we canput it aside and focus on more advanced topics like the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita and so on. Because what we find in the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as well as other places, that Prabhupada regularly quotes verses from the Bhagavad Gita. So it's all part of kind of an integral tapestry, if you will, of our philosophy. So we're not going to separate Bhagavad Gita philosophy from the others. It's a part of the same thing.
的确，薄伽梵歌是我们的哲学的根基。但是如果我们觉得薄伽梵歌只是初级读物，等读完薄伽梵歌之后就可以把它扔在一边，去主攻更高阶的一些书籍，比如说圣典波迦瓦坛、永恒的主宰坛涅经。如果这么想，那就错了，因为我们发现，在圣典波迦瓦坛以及永恒的主宰坛涅经多处 施拉帕帕都反复的在引用《薄伽梵歌》的书籍，所以说《薄伽梵歌》永远都是我们的根基。
And so Bhagavad Gita is the basis, it's the foundation, and therefore, you know, many devotees will read Bhagavad Gita daily. They'll chant a chapter of the Gita or what have you, but it's something that is done regularly. It's like a daily sadhana. In addition to that, one may read other, you know, other books, varieties of Srila Prabhupada's books.
薄伽梵歌始终都是基础，是根基，所以有很多奉献者每天都会阅读一定量的薄伽梵歌，比如说每天一章，这里已经成为了他们日常sadhana的一部分。
Okay, I think we've answered that. Next question, please.
下一个问题，深深的敬拜Good day, 感恩翻译和主播，请问您不是纯粹奉献者传播就没有效果，在阅读圣典薄伽梵在阅读圣 Prabhupada 的书籍后想就要去传播圣名，请问 Good day, 在传播时要怎样调整好心态避免小我的膨胀呢？ Please accept my obeisances, Good day, thank you. You mentioned thatunless we are pure devotees, our preaching will have no effect. After reading Srila Prabhupada's books, I feel like preaching the holy names. So, my question is, how can I adjust my attitude? So, how can I have a good attitude?A good mentality in preaching to avoid the increasing of my false ego.
Good question.
非常好的问题。
If you just continue to study Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada will very systematically dismantle.Purify your false ego and transform it into real ego.
如果您能够规律的阅读圣 Prabhupada 的书籍的话 ，Prabhupada 会一步一步的很系统的摧毁你的假我，净化你的假我，将你的假我转变成真我。
So if we have pride, which we all do.Then just by studying Prabhupada's books, you know, that pride will gradually be eradicated.
比如说有骄傲，如果有骄傲，那通过规律的阅读 Prabhupada 的书籍，逐渐骄傲就会被清除，被根除。
So that's one very important result of reading Prabhupada's books.
这是阅读圣 Prabhupada 的书籍带来的结果之一。
Prabhupada directly addresses this, and you know, through his very wonderful instructions and examples, he will help us to remove that particular anarta as well as all the rest.
通过去追随圣普拉巴德的榜样还有他的训示，我们就能够清除这个清除假我，清除刚刚说到的骄傲，还有其他的anartha内心的不洁。
Next question, please.
下一个问题 ,Vrinda Devi Dasi, 顶拜 Maharaj, 感恩 Maharaj 精彩的讲课，感谢翻译。中国大陆的奉献者很期盼着 Charita Amrita 书尽快能出版，我们太渴望了。Vrinda Devi Dasi, please accept my obeisances, Maharaj. Thank you for your wonderful lecture. Many mainland Chinese devotees are really looking forward to the publishing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are really eager to read this book.
And?
No question, just expressing desire.
Yes,
thank you for
expressing that. And it's also a burning desire for us as well. And as I said earlier, you know, our clear goal is to ensure that all of Prabhupada's books are properly translated, edited, and published. And of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita is one of those.
谢谢您表达出这样的渴望，当然我们也是有，我们也有热切的渴望，这样让这本书翻译出版出来。刚刚也说到了，我们有很明确的一个目标，就是要确保圣帕帕的所有的书籍能够恰当的被翻译出来、编辑好、出版出来，并且始终有存货。
So please pray that those of us who are involved with the BBT can accomplish this as soon as possible.
也请您帮忙祈祷我们所有参与到 BBT 服务当中的奉献者能够尽快的完成这些服务，把书印出来。
Next question.
Lily, Hare Krishna, 顶拜咕噜，我特别喜欢阅读，也从中受益良多。请问我们如何在地区联谊小组组织有效的经典诵读活动？请您给予我们方法和训示。 Hare Krishna, 顶拜您的莲花族。 Hare Krishna, please accept my obeisances. I really love reading, and I benefited a lot by reading. So could you please give us some suggestions or instructions as how we can organize a reading programs in our local group efficiently?
Well, it depends, I guess, on, you know, from group to group. Some devotees come together physically and they hold readings. Some are doing online. You know, I think it's all about the participants making a commitment to the practice of reading, and once they've done that, then the exact format for how that's done, you know, will be much less of an issue, and whatever is practical according to time, place, and circumstance, and whatever will facilitate the maximum number of participants and the longest reading sessions. I think that's something that you all will decide.
关于具体的组织的方式，就看。 每个组的具体的情况，一般来说，我们得最主要的是看，当地的奉献者参与着本身，是不是愿意认真的投入来做这个服务。如果真的有认真的有奉献者很认真的想要参与到这个读书活动当中来，那么具体的组织形式，那就不是个问题了。有的地方是奉献者聚在一起来读。 也有的是在网上进行，所以只要有一群奉献者愿意来做，那么你们就可以根据每个人具体的时间，还有其他的因素，看看安排在什么样的时间能够确保尽可能多的人参加。所以细节的问题，你们可以自己来思考安排。We do
know that Prabhupada wanted us to study his books systematically and start from the beginning and go through them. So, you know, we would suggest following that suggestion, if not instruction from Srila Prabhupada, that, you know, if you're going to read, you start from the beginning, beginning of the Gita or the beginning of the Bhagavatam, and you progress like this.
我们知道Srila Prabhupada 是希望我们能够从头到尾系统地研读他的书籍。所以说如果你们真的要开始了，那就建议从头开始，国家梵歌，顺利国家法坛，逐步的一一来阅读。
So the general progression was like that, the Gita, the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
所以一般的顺序就是先来读《薄伽梵歌》，然后顺便《薄伽罗坛》，然后用横的《诸财坛涅经》。
At the same time, he came out with the Sri Upanishad and the Nectar of Devotion and the Nectar of Instruction quite early on. So he considered these to be very important as well.
那实际上，在我们运动的早期，很早，释迦牟尼的就把泛海甘露。还有至尊奥义书教会的甘露这些书也都翻译印刷了出来，因为他觉得这些书也特别的重要。
But these are shorter works, and it wouldn't take so long to excuse me to read them.
这些书也不长，所以也不会花太多的时间，读起来也不会花太多的时间。
Like that.Like this.
So it's like this. The last
main
one.
The main thing is consistency. It's something that should be done. Once you start, you should not let anything get in your way. You should continue to have your reading sessions no matter what. And just keep things on track. You should have that commitment from the members. And even if someone can't make it, the other members should go on. It's something that you should do. And make a commitment to, and just push through and do it, no matter what.
组织读书会的一个原则就是说，很重要的一点就是持之以恒。一旦计划打算了要去阅读，那就无论如何按照计划读下去。哪怕是有几次没有办法所有成员都参加，那能参加的学员就要继续去坚持下去，不要让任何事情阻碍你们的读书计划。
Last question.
Last one from Chaitanya Charam Das. 顶拜 Maharaj 和奉献者们，从前有奉献者做了个图书的阅读软件，在里面可以看到电子版的《薄伽梵歌》《薄伽罗坛》。至尊奥义书教会的甘露，还有 Prabhupada 的清晨谈话和很多 Prabhupada 的逍遥时光，但是后来 BBD 说做软件的奉献者侵权，后来大家就再也没有看到这些甘露了，很多奉献者都感到非常遗憾，怎样看待这个问题？ Maharaj, please accept my obeisances. One devotee.Made the reading app from which we can read the digital versions of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Isha Upanishad, Nectar of Instruction, and also Morning Walk, the transcript of Srila Prabhupada's Morning Walk talks, and also a lot of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. But later,BBD claimed that this devotee, by doing so, he infringed the copyright of BBD. So devotees could not read this nectar anymore. We feel it's such a pity. How shall we understand that? What do you think about this?
Oh, it's not a question of what I think. It's a question of what Prabhupada wanted.
那这不是我们某个人怎样看待、怎样、思考这个问题的事情。我们得看 Srila Prabhupada 想要的是什么。
He wanted all of his books printed by or published by the BBT.
Srila Prabhupada 想要的是他的书籍都能够由 BBT 印刷出版出来。
the publishing has to go on either directly by the BBT or by or through an agent of the BBT, authorized agent of the BBT.
所以任何 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍的出版一定要是在是要么是BBT 直接负责出版发行，要么是 BBT 授权的机构来出版发行。
And at the same time, there are an international body of trustees that manage the global affairs of the BBT.
与此同时，我们也有有一个国际 BBT 信托。基金，所以它是这个机构呢，是在整体管理着 BBT 的服务。
And so they have determined that for digital versions and even audio versions, that this also has to be done under the auspices of the BBT.
包括我们说的 Prabhupada 书籍的电子版。还有音频版也都需要在 BBT 的统一的指导下授权的情况下来统一的进行。
So just like, you know, in ISKCON, all ISKCON members are supposed to follow the direction, leadership and direction of the GBC in the same way for BBT affairs.We are supposed to follow the international BBT in terms of our standards and all of this. So this is something that's being looked at. We've had a couple of conversations with our trustee, Narasimha Prabhu, about it. And so, gradually this will also be done, production of...both the digital and audio versions of Prabhupada's teachings.
就像我们 ISKCON 的每个成员都要在GBC 的统一管理在统一指导下来行事。同样的 BBT, 我们也有国际 BBT 信托机构为权威在他的指导下来服务。那我们也有几次和我们的国际 BBT 的信托人Narasimha Prabhu通过话讨论过这方面的问题，包括圣帕巴的书籍的电子版，还有他圣帕巴的书籍的音频，我们都会逐步的把它统一安排制作出来。
So as I've taken it upon myself to.Try to manage the China BBT, and I'm taking direction from my trustee, and we're trying to work these things out in a way that complies with the international BBT guidelines.
那我自己承担了管理中国 BBT 的这个责任，当然我要和我的直接的权威。国际 BBT 的信托人去沟通，在他的引导下来确保我们 BBT 的每一项服务也都是和国际 BBT 的政策一致的。
The bottom line is that we have to comply with those standards according to Srila Prabhupada's own directives on the matter.
我们的底线就是要遵从国际 BBT 的这些原则，并且要吻合圣帕帕在BBT 事务上的直接的指示。
Okay, there's one last question, it seems.
Yes, 顶拜所有奉献者的莲花组骨，从物质层面来说，不再梵歌和伟大经哪个是究竟法？I would like to pay obeisances to the lotus feet of all devotees from a material perspective, Bhagavad Gita in the Vedas, which is the ultimate teaching.
Well, when we speak of the Vedas, you know, we're speaking about, you know, all of the, we're using that term Vedas, and it's all the Vedic literatures, which of course include many things. The topmost Vedic literatures are the Bhakti Shastras, and Bhagavad Gita is one of those. So the Bhakti Shastras are the highest, and Bhagavad Gita is certainly one of the main Bhakti Shastras.
Bhakti Shastras. 跟奉爱服务有关的经典当中，核心的一本就是《佛家梵歌》。
So in that respect, Bhagavad Gita is certainly higher than many or most of the other, you know, categories of Vedic literature.
从这个角度来讲，《佛家梵歌》是高于其他的伟大经典的。
I think that's the answer to the question, and I would like to thank you all for joining us this morning. We've gone over time. It's just after 9.
那问题就回答到这里了。再次感谢今天早上大家来聆听这个讲课。今天我们也超时了。
So please do try to reflect on Prabhupada's purport. Try to organize your lives in such a way that you prioritize, you know, the main practices of Krishna consciousness, you know, particularly as Prabhupada says, chanting the holy name, studying the books, and so on.
所以请大家会仔细再反思回顾一下我们今天讨论的 Prabhupada 讲的这个世界的要旨，也请做一个自己的日常的时间表，把最根本的最主要的奉爱服务的修习项目列在首位，比如说每天规律的念诵圣名，阅读圣帕瓦德的书籍。
And in this way become purified.
通过从事这些活动得到净化。
And then we become purified, we become, you know, tools that can be used in the hands of Guru and Krishna, and you know, we can then be effective in transmitting Krishna consciousness to others and transforming their lives.
如果通过规律的从事这些最根本的奉爱服务的话，我们就能够成为 Guru Krishna 手中好用的工具，从而协助他们有效的去传播传递 Krishna 直觉的讯息。
So thank you, thanks Sati Mataji, thank Shyamalila Mataji for translation.
感谢大家的聆听，感谢 Sati Mataji 的翻译，感谢Sati Mataji 的主持，感谢 Shyamalila 的翻译。
Jai Srila Prabhupada, Hari Bol.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.